Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild hog holding. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this joke court. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. Thank you for tuning in to the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. It is your boy, We Too Deep. I hope there wasn't a long interlude. I don't know what goes on whenever I play these intros. But with me, as always, is DJ Wavy D. And we're just going to go ahead and jump right into this. As always, links in the description. Join the Discord. Also, join the casual wrestling community Discord. Help us fight back against these IWC cockroaches that infest the wrestling conversation. That link's also in the description as well. You know, you can join all the fun, PLE chats, all of that stuff.
So, and you wonder why your TikTok comments get reported.
Look, yeah, I don't know who it was who reported me, but someone reported me for calling them dumb. It's okay. It's all right.
You said, I quote, are you dumb, stupid, or dumb?
Huh? Yeah, I was quoting 6ix9ine for those
who lyricists.
But we're gonna jump right on in. Because of the prompt for Let's Get Cooking, we have to set this up. So we're gonna do this after we discuss this the week in wrestling. Then we'll jump into Let's Get Cooking because the prompt is to book John Cena's heel turn. But before we get there, we have to set this up. So let's discuss, you know, I already gave my Elimination Chamber immediate results on Sunday. So I want to hear, you know, sort of your thoughts of it. Then we'll talk about SmackDown and Raw as well. So let's talk about the SmackDown before Chamber. I don't, to be honest with you, I don't remember much of it. Any thoughts you took from SmackDown?
I like that there was a lot of matches. My one gripe with SmackDown, especially since the Netflix deal, is that half their wrestling is taking place during picture-in-pictures, which is the main argument I have with AEW, because a lot of their matches take place in picture-in-picture. And it's like when something's in picture-in-picture, I tend to pay less attention because, one, I'm not getting the commentary for it. Second of all, I gravitate towards my phone.
Right.
Because I don't really want to listen to the commercials. And I don't get why it's so hard to do it the way Netflix does it. I know streaming and TV are different, but how hard is it to put your commercials in between your segments?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll take a 5-minute commercial break if it means I can get a full match without commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, the picture-in-picture is annoying. And I don't think it would be as annoying if it wasn't every commercial break. Mm. It feels like every time they go to commercial, it's picture-in-picture and it's in the middle of a match. And to me, that just says, well, this isn't important. Cause just like you said, cause even when it's like sporting events, when they go into picture-in-picture, I just grab my phone and I scroll until the commercials are done.
Yeah.
And so it's just sort of the way we're trained now to watch TV. I wish there was a way, and I know you can't really do this with cable television, where I could just pay for no ads. And that's with Netflix. And I get it. WWE wants the marketing money, so that's never going to happen. But unless you're in Europe and you don't have to get the commercials on Netflix, which is another topic we'll talk about when we get to Raw. But let's jump to Elimination Chamber. I've already sort of given my opinion on it. I want to hear yours. What did you think of the show?
So, some of my opinions were more negative until the outcome of Raw.
Okay.
So the women's Elimination Chamber match, I thought the opening with Jade Cargill coming down, I thought that was done really well.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they gave Naomi's spot a replacement instead of just eliminating her.
Yeah, because they really didn't ring the bell, did they?
They did ring the bell.
They did? Okay. Well, that's why
it was weird.
That's why I wish they would have shown her laid out in the back.
Mm.
And I understand you wanted to re-debut Jade, which is fine. But at least have her like get attacked on the stage to where Adam Pearce or someone could come out, just like maybe even something like they did at Rumble, where Triple H comes out and is like he walks backstage and just finds a random woman in Gorilla. And it's like, hey, you're up. And so yeah, I do think, because it was a sort of cheap elimination. Who did she beat? She beat in the qualifier.
Naomi? Yeah. Was it a triple threat match or was it a 1v1?
The women's were 1v1. Bailey had Lyra. Bailey faced Lyra. Roxanne had Raquel.
Naomi probably faced someone like Chelsea or someone.
I think it was Chelsea Green. To be honest with you, I think it was Chelsea. It could have been one of those things where like Chelsea Green was just randomly sitting there, you know, or it could have been, I don't know, literally anyone. Just grab a random woman that's in the back.
Yeah, put Chelsea on TV for her home country again.
And so, yeah, I mean, I like how they did it. I do. I wish though that there was that replacement, even if it was super quick. Solid. Yeah, the match was good.
There were some hard hitting spots too, like when Bianca was swinging Liv into the cage and the pod.
Yeah.
Jade was putting Naomi through the pods. Mm-hmm. There's some good spots. I do wish, I know it's for like their safety, but get rid of the goddamn padding on the outside of the ring. Like, it's a Elimination Chamber match, okay? Make it look like a playground. It looks soft.
Yeah. So when I went to Mania, this was back when they still had fan access and they didn't call it WWE World. When I went to Mania 33, I actually stood inside the original chamber.
Mm.
They had it. That thing is all metal, and we need to bring it back. I don't care what we got to do. Bring it back. I stood inside of it to get a picture with Rhino, which was pretty cool. And I was like, bro, you think I could take you right now? He was like, nah, bro, I'll gore the shit out of you. I was like, you're probably right. You're probably right. but yeah, I don't like the new chamber. I'm also sort of the same. I think their normal like cages are a little bit different as well than the older ones. That's another issue I want to talk about as well. When we talk about KO and Sammy with that barbed wire chair, that was, some say it's not gimmicked. I don't know. I didn't see any blood, so to me it looked gimmicked. But we'll talk about that in a minute. So what did you think about the Tiffany Stratton, Trish Stratton and that whole match? I mean, it was exactly what we thought it was.
That match should have been Tiffany versus Trish Stratton 1-on-1. And like, I know you want to push Tiffany as like a face against Charlotte, but like, you can have a face versus face match.
Not even that. Charlotte's already the heel. I mean, yeah, if we're talking about like Trish versus Tiffany, absolutely. Trish Stratus being the hometown favorite, but Tiffany is the crowd favorite.
Yeah.
Even if Trish is there, Tiffany's the favorite. And what a better way to get Tiffany over on the way to Charlotte Flair than to have her beat Trish Stratus, who is arguably a top three in the women's division of all time.
Mm.
And so in her hometown, where Trish gets up, shakes her hand or gives her a hug and, you know, holds her hand up, points at her and all of that, passing that torch to Tiffany to be the next like blonde heartthrob of the WWE. Yeah, I don't understand why we need it, Nia Jax or Candace here. I don't think it builds to anything.
Yeah, it seems like we can't get past the Nia part of the story.
Right.
And I love me some Nia, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a Nia supporter. But moving Tiffany forward, we got to get our way. Excuse me, we got to get away from Nia and Candace.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have, like, low-key even put her against, like, Zelina Vega, who's a newcomer of SmackDown.
Right.
You could put her against them. So that's the problem. SmackDown, low-key, don't really got that many women wrestlers right now.
Right. I mean, even if it was, you know, Tiffany... First off, I'm of the opinion, I know I'm probably in a super minority here. Tiffany shouldn't wrestle at that pay-per-view at all. I know I'm of a super minority that doesn't think champions have to fight all the time. But I don't see the purpose of risking, because there were some spots there, especially when Candace was in the ring, where Tiffany could have blown an ACL, or I don't know how Trish is still standing. Nia fucking swung the fuck out of her until the...
Oh, yeah. When Tiffany was on the top rope, they did the same spot that messed up Charlotte's leg for the past year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
the same way.
Some of these spots are stupid this close to Mania.
Low-key, you could have easily got rid of that tag team match, and you could have done a Chelsea Green match on the PLE. You could have done that Lyra and
Ivy.
An Ivy match, which is pretty good. And then you could have even moved Tiffany to like a Waller effect segment where you get some words between Tiffany and Charlotte.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you could have easily... I get you want the Canadian push with the pop, but Chelsea Green provides the same thing Trish Stratus does.
Could have even done Tiffany versus Natalia for all we care.
Right. Or if anything, the match they had Friday night, Tiffany versus Chelsea, could have been moved to the PLE. Where, you know, they announce it, but Chelsea goes back and says, "I'm not prepared for this. We got to back this up." And then Nick Aldis says, "Fine, you'll do it tomorrow. You have a day or something like that." I don't know. I love Trish Stratus. I do. I just don't really necessarily care to see her wrestle anymore. Because she ages like fine wine. She doesn't move the same in the ring as she used to.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things. So next match was Sammy and Kevin, which I think was match of the night.
It was. And, you know, getting what we got later in the night explains why it wasn't the last match of the night.
Yep.
I like how they kind of, you know, how they turn all the WWE logos and everything off and the lights a little bit. The match was just how I kind of thought it was going to go. He beat the hell out of Sami Zayn. Yep. Sami's getting injured. He's going to be gone up until it should be past Mania, but he might return at Mania as like a run-in for the KO Rant match. But Sami Zayn should be out past WrestleMania, I like the way the match went. I like the emotion behind it, the moves. I like how it got a little extreme. I do think they did two table spots. I think one of them should have been a flaming table. I mean, that's just me being like, if three of his two table spots, I know one of them was like two tables stacked on top of each other, but those two tables came before a singular table. So like, you know, thinking almost like Bully Ray.
Right.
If I were like, I didn't watch Bully Ray break this match down, but I can picture him saying something like, "All right, well, he gave us the two tables. How do we build upon that?
Right.
Why do you go back down to a single table?
Right.
And, yeah, you should have done something different where you put some tacks on top of it, set it on fire or something.
Right. Right. I 100% agree with that. So we'll get to this barbed wire spot. I know it's not. I know I wasn't completely gimmicked there. I know there's a lot of people saying they didn't see like any. Somebody even said that it looked like it was painted on. It ripped Kevin Owens' shirt. I think it was super gimmicked though, because Kevin Owens went face first into it and wasn't bleeding, so it was super gimmicked.
Yeah, it was probably just filed down.
Which is what they typically do. There was no way in the hell they were going to AEW this shit. And which is fine. It still didn't stop me from when Kevin Owens went face first. I literally screamed, "Oh shit!" Because it was one of those spots I didn't actually think would happen. I mean, this was a great match from start to beginning. It is, you know, we knew it was going to be this good. And it was a good way to sort of get us into the men's chamber.
The one thing the match was missing was showing their families in the crowd. Kind of like how when Sammy's wife was in the crowd for his was it his world title match, or no, his Intercontinental title match against Gunther, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it against Gunther? Or was it against Chad Gable? I think it was against Gunther.
It may have been against. I think it was because they showed Gable's, but that was against Gunther and Gable. We showed Gable's family. I don't actually remember.
Or no, I think it was when Sammy was facing Roman Reigns.
It may have been that, yeah.
But yeah, I think it was when he faced Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber last year, or the year before, whatever. It was last year, right? Was it last year's Chamber?
I'm beyond.
Yeah, it was last year's Chamber because if Sammy won, he was going to face Cody at WrestleMania for the title. But it was Roman versus Sami Zayn last year in Chamber, Chamber last year was also in Toronto. Or was it?
I know Money in the Bank last year was in Toronto.
Was Chamber 2 years ago in Toronto?
Because I think Chamber last year was the one in Australia.
Oh, you're right. So it was Chamber 2 years ago. There was a show in Toronto.
I know
where Sammy faced Roman Reigns. Maybe it was Money in the Bank because it was after Sammy. Sammy turned on Roman. It was 2 years ago because it was when Sammy and KO became tag team champions at Mania.
Yeah, cause Sammy beat Braun Breaker last year at Money in the Bank.
It was when Sammy turned his back on Roman at Royal Rumble. And then
because that's when they fought Kevin Owens, and then the next month it was Roman versus Sammy,
yeah. But then I forgot because I remember there was something that was like, because if he won, he was gonna face Cody because Cody won Royal Rumble that year,
yeah,
that's what it was. But yeah, it was that chamber 2 years ago in Toronto where Sammy's wife was in the crowd. And like Roman was like making gestures at her, and they put her on camera, and she was crying, and all this stuff. And we low key thought Sami Zayn might walk out of the chamber with the title.
But
if they did stuff like that, where they like showed Sammy's wife and family, showed Kevin's son in the crowd, kind of got a little more emotional, like family emotional behind.
Especially with Kevin Owens doing that promo outside his house.
Yeah,
like, and maybe. I don't know, because they really didn't expand on that. Like they could have taken advantage of that a little more.
So Sami Zayn said that after he watched that promo, he went to Kevin's house, but nobody was home except for Kevin's grandma or mom or something. And he had to sit down and talk. Or no, he was chatting with his mom or grandma, and you know, he was talking about like, "I always love your family, but I hate you," or something like that.
I can definitely why we didn't get Grandma Owens in the crowd. but then we move on to the men's chamber. I thought it went kind of the way I thought it did, what was going to.
I still want CM Punk to win. I still think CM Punk should have won. It would have made the rest of the matches on WrestleMania, everything would have fell into place a lot easier. I mean, I know it's Cena winning and he turned heel, but this was like before Cena turned heel. I feel like if CM Punk won, every other match kind of fell into place evenly. But now it's right, like...
But the story, though, is that essentially John Cena caught his shot post-Rumble because he already had the plan that he was going to win Chamber, and he had already talked to The Rock.
Yeah.
Which is right. And so I think it makes it difficult to, Because everyone still thinks CM Punk should have been the one that sold out. And I'm telling you, that would not work at all.
No, no, not sell out. I just think CM Punk should have won Chamber.
I just think it makes it, I think it makes it difficult for it to make sense for Cena to turn.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, Cena turning everything is cool, but the right, way I would have booked it, Cena would have not turned. Nobody would have turned. I would have booked CM Punk winning, CM Punk versus Cody, and then in my scenario, I had John Cena versus Logan Paul in a marquee matchup at Mania. You know the name value, because also they had some stuff brewing like off of like TV, like a lot of like YouTube and like interview stuff, where like Logan Paul was saying stuff about John Cena, kind of like you know, dirtying the water a little bit, like kind of fishing for a match, and then I would have had Roman versus Seth 1-on-1, you know, kind of put an end to their story. And then I would have done Drew versus Damian. So everybody in that chamber match essentially would have been 1-on-1 versus each other. But now we introduce John Cena as the heel who won the match. Now it's like, where does CM Punk go? Does he get put into a triple threat match with Rollins and Roman? Does he face Rollins 1-on-1?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I would say Seth Punk should be the Mania match, but they're apparently finishing it next week. In the cage match, which, let's just be completely honest, Roman Reigns should interfere in that match. That's what my initial thought was somehow Roman would get in the cage. But I don't know. It's one of those things where MSG's the last American TV show until they're going overseas for Raw and SmackDown until Mania. So
now, is there any way, say we do get kind of we get a finish to the Seth and CM Punk situation? Say Seth and CM Punk go at it in the cage match. Roman interferes or not, say Roman does interfere, you know, and CM Punk gets the win or whatever. Is there any world where CM Punk gets put into a triple threat match at Mania with Cody and Cena and possibly is the fall guy who takes the pin? And then this puts us maybe like in a Cody versus CM Punk thing. CM Punk's also tangled up with Cena. It kind of is the three of them going after the title going into SummerSlam. Yeah.
Here's my thing. I ain't got no fucking clue what the fuck Triple H is going to do tomorrow. y'all, tune in Friday, because I got more. I'm a fucking shit on Triple H until the end of Mania season. Yeah, I fucking hate this motherfucker. I really do. And we're about to talk about the reason why. let's turn into Monday night. Well, we can't forget Cena's turn. Cena turns. What was your immediate response?
My response, I was like, oh shit, it's actually happening.
Right. So I was laying in bed watching this. And now I'm going to be straight up on this. So I know a lot of people that are sort of more casual, especially in the CWC. Like, I know, like, to my knowledge, like, Starry Night Sky's only been a fan for like the last 5 years or so. I know Mike hasn't really been that into it for that long. I think Nerdy D just got back into it like 2014-ish. Mm. I think he said he was at Mania 30. But even with like Mike and like Dirty D, they weren't really kids growing up with Cena. You and me were. Mm. And so I think for us, now I was never a Cena fan. I was always the guy chanting Cena sucks.
Mike's not too old. Mike's like, I think 33. Did he just celebrate his birthday the other day?
Yeah, I don't want to make him sound like he's like ancient, but I mean, he was probably like a teenager growing up with Cena.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I was in fifth grade, I think, when Cena's album dropped.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But I mean, we like grew up with Cena. Like he was everyone and like that we went and like if you want to talk about a Cena hater though, Cody's was a Cena hater. This motherfucker hated John Cena. But like, so part of me like sort of growing up never expected this moment. But when it happened, my reaction, the way I felt was like, holy shit, this happened. Like that shock moment, like, cool, we finally did it. But part of me was like, shit, we did this. I can actually cheer for Cena now. Because, you know, and so I think there's a lot of adults who grew up watching Cena who's been wanting this to happen. That was part of the reason it got a pop as well. Tell you something. I don't think this was as impactful as Hogan in 96, but I think it's definitely this generation's biggest moment. I don't think anything AEW can do. I don't even think anything WWE can do can top John Cena turning heel. Because it's one of those things like you can't reverse this now. Like we got to finish the story.
Yeah. And you know, as far as like the Hogan thing, I think it's just as shocking, but as far as impactful, Hogan still has some years in the business. This is seen as last year.
Right. So, and I also think like Hogan's turn essentially created the Attitude Era. Because if it wasn't for the NWO, WWE doesn't become edgy. So I think that is why I would consider that the most impactful thing to happen. But I think it's on the same level. I just don't think I don't think a lot changes in the business because of it.
So with my observation where I was kind of seeing that, like, lately John Cena has been seen like a guy who's playing John Cena. Mm-hmm. Do you think that kind of goes into the, oh, we had this heel change in line, that's part of the story? Or do you think Cena was just being a little over the top?
I think he was just being over the top. Because from what I've heard, now this is from Dave Meltzer, so it could be 100% wrong. And I'm 100% certain it is probably wrong. But he was saying that this was sort of like the backup plan, that Triple H kind of didn't want to turn Cena, but that The Rock wanted Cody to be the one that turned. But Triple H thought it was a bad idea. And you're not going to sort of, Nick Khan and The Rock are friends. Triple H is always going to lose any argument between The Rock and him just because of sort of the power structure. And so they sort of compromised and Cena was okay with it. So now again, it's from Dave Meltzer. Who knows if he's fucking, if he got false information fed to him, probably did. And so I take that with a big grain of salt, but I kind of think this was like last, cause I don't know if you noticed, but like when Travis Scott got in the ring, he started talking to Cena. And I kind of think it was, hey, bro, you're turning. I think he was sort of telling them the plan. I think a lot of that was like last minute.
I know a lot of people weren't fond of Travis Scott being there or his placement. I thought he looked kind of cool. I thought he brought a little edginess.
Well, he sort of. I don't hate him. I don't hate him being there. I don't think he ruins the moment. I think a lot of people think he does. Especially if Travis Scott, and this is going to answer one of the questions we get asked, if Travis Scott makes the theme song, that explains every reason why he's there. So,
especially with Travis Scott, you know, this man's a music mogul, you know what I'm saying? And The Rock is a mogul.
So, I have zero idea what being a mogul.
I just got talking. So with Travis Scott being a music mogul and The Rock being a mogul, and Cena, you know, being a movie star mogul, you know, so I think they all kind of fit together, you know, just being like kind of like the top of their craft, and Travis brings an edginess to them. Yeah. I thought he looked cool. He looked like almost like their version of Dennis Rodman. Like he looked cool.
I don't hate him being there. I don't think he should get physical again, but
he punched the fuck out of Cody.
He beat the shit out of him. And the punch looked gang of shit, if I'm being honest with you. Here's the thing. He's been training, from what I've been told, but not everyone picks up to the shit super early, like a Bad Bunny or a... But, bro, imagine if, like, Bad Bunny's part of this group. Now you like, and they, you were in Toronto, and Drake was there. Put Drake in this motherfucker. He's already hated by half the fucking world. Put Drake in this heel group. Just let him get booed every time he comes out on stage. That'd be fucking insane.
Question: was Travis Scott also at Bad Blood?
Was it Travis Scott that was promoting?
No, he wasn't the one with Cody, like in the van.
Right,
we were doing the promo stuff. But was Travis Scott at Bad Blood? Because what I'm thinking is, you know, The Rock held up the three fingers, and now he held up two or something. So people think, are wondering if there's one more in the group. And I was like, was Travis Scott the first recruitment? And, like, was John Cena the second recruit? Like, well, if there is a third recruit or another member of this faction, who do you think is the member of the faction?
So that's going to get to my answer when we do Let's Get Cooking. So we can actually kind of transfer into that. And transition in there. So let's book John Cena's heel run. I'll let you go first, like always. How would you book Cena as a villain?
I think there's two ways you could do this. One, he wins the title at Mania, and he uses his newfound power to keep everyone down and kind of, you know, not defend it everywhere he needs to, or like when he does defend it, he has the outside help and stuff like that. I'm definitely interested in seeing heel Cena do some promos. You know, I know he walked into the presser, grabbed the mic, and dropped it. I was like, yeah. I thought it was kind of corny. I gotta hold you. I feel like it would be better if he kind of sat down and got up and walked away doing the actual literal mic drop. I thought it was kind of corny. But I mean, I'm still of the mindset that I think it'd be better if John Cena wins the title later rather than sooner. Like, I'd rather him win it at like a SummerSlam, and he holds on to it and kind of carries us through the rest of like the later part of the year where stuff kind of slows down a little bit. But I mean, if you get to him at Mania, he gets a little bit of a longer title run. You know, it's gonna be remembered better. But so the reason I'm looking at the triple threat match is because you do triple threat, you can make, like, say, CM Punk the fall guy, he takes the pin, and then you kind of have him and Cody kind of going after it while going after the title. Maybe John Cena and The Rock pull some hoops, pull some strings, and have Cody and CM Punk face each other for, like, number one contendership. So, like, prolong Cena getting in the ring and stuff like that. You can have Randy and Cena do some promos together where Randy tells Cena that he's changed and all this other stuff. And you do this, you run Cena versus Randy. I don't think you're doing the open challenge stuff because open challenge is for faces.
Yeah, that's a face thing, yeah.
So now, like, I think Cena has like five marquee matches in him for the rest of the year. So it's like, who gets those marquee matches? We get a Cody rematch in there somewhere. We get a Randy Orton match in there. Maybe get a Kevin Owens or a Roman Reigns. And I'm not sure who he drops it to.
Okay.
Because I don't think he drops it to like a youngin who needs like a rocket strapped to their back. I think he's going to drop it to an established star. I think he drops it to like a Roman, or he drops it to a Cody who gets revenge, or a CM Punk or a Kevin Owens. I think he drops it to a guy like that. I don't see him dropping it to a guy like a Chad Gable or a Gunther or a Braun Breaker.
Right.
I don't think he drops it to like a unproven guy.
Okay. Understood. And so I think 100% John Cena is winning at WrestleMania. I think that's the only way that this whole thing makes sense. Because if you have Cena turn and then he loses, it sort of diminishes the whole purpose of the turn, which was to guarantee a title, the 17th championship. Because if I'm playing this, if I'm booking this out, it's Cena. Because every time Cena's come back ever, it was, I haven't won a singles match in this amount of days. And it's like 5 years at this point. And it's always him sort of doubting himself. And so this is sort of, he lost Rumble. And so this was how he could guarantee that he can get a title match and win the title match. And so I do think Cena leaves Mania as champion. I think at some point by SummerSlam, if I'm playing this out, this is not a long-term heel run. I think at some point Cena wins the title and gets sort of talked back into his senses. He comes to his senses and realizes, you know, I want out of this. And he goes to The Rock and's like, hey, man, I've gotten everything I wanted out of this. I want out. And The Rock's like, no, man, you sold me your soul. We going all the way with this. And so Cena's like, well, how about this? You versus me at SummerSlam. If I win, I can go free. If not, you can have my soul and the title. And sort of make it like a soul versus title match or whatever. Rock, Cena, SummerSlam in MetLife, where they've already met before. You could finish the trilogy. Now leading up to this, because I need to, you asked about who like the third guy is. So I think you have the third guy sort of getting the benefit of being the third guy without being announced to be the third guy. Now I'll go ahead and give my answer. My answer is Ethan Page. He's had conversations with Rock on NXT where they sort of made, you know, the idea of maybe they could work together. He is a big time heel. He could use the excuse of, well, I've grinded for 18 years on the indies and in other companies and I deserve my spot at the top of the WWE any means necessary. And so what I would have him do, I would have him come in as like us at Money in the Bank. I would have him win Money in the Bank. But I would have him like special, like not even qualify in, but someone gets hurt, taken out on the way to Money in the Bank, maybe even the day of, and he gets like special placement into the Money in the Bank. And it's not going to make any sense at the time, but he's going to win. And then at SummerSlam, Rock versus Cena happens. Cena wins, so he can go free. But as that happens, he gets cashed in on by Ethan Page. Ethan Page wins the title and then sort of like shake hands with The Rock. And that's when you announce that he's the guy that's working with The Rock now. I think you could then send Cena as a babyface, have him win the IC title, have him go home, you know, at the end of the year, and we can sort of, and I don't think this is a year long thing. I don't see them sending Cena off into the sunset as a bad guy. I think this is a temporary thing where they rebuild him as a babyface. He apologizes for turning. I could even see a situation where he teams up with Cody, and they sort of forgive each other and move on. But I think in the long run, I think Ethan Page is probably, if there is another member, Ethan Page, I think is just enough of a surprise to where, because as of now, there's no one else I can really think of who would do it. Maybe Drew, but I think Ethan Page has history with The Rock on TV that it would make sense. It wouldn't even surprise me if like Ava was a part of the group. That would be crazy. But
so some people were throwing out Jey Uso. I think Jey Uso is too hot of a babyface right now.
I don't see a purpose in building Jey Uso to being like the biggest babyface in the business to immediately turn him. To me, that makes no sense. I for 100% know it's not Roman. I know a lot of people think it's going to be Roman. It's not Roman. I think that would be the obvious pick. And as we know, Triple H doesn't do obvious shit. He tries to outsmart the smart marks. And so Roman Reigns is not the guy. Where does that leave Punk? I think we're going to get a triple threat, Punk, Rollins, and Roman. I'm not the biggest fan of that match. I agree with you. I think in a perfect world, Punk should have won Chamber. But if we're going to go down the path of Cena being a bad guy, it doesn't really hurt my opinion on the match. But that's how I would book the heel turn with Cena. So let's go into some awards here real quick. So who is the Wavy D best dressed of the week?
I'm not gonna lie, homie was looking kind of fly. Penta L0 was looking kind of fly in his street clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a TikTok of him looking like in like regular streetwear without mm-hmm. the face paint. Like he was getting like out of an Uber, getting into the arena or whatever. Homie looked mad normal. He looked so normal. He looked so different with the face paint. Right. But he was looking fly in his. He came out and like beat up Kaiser a little bit. He was looking fly. The Rock looked good when he came out with Travis Scott. They looked kind of fly, and the black on black and everything like that. I like Chelsea Green's half U.S. half Canada mm-hmm. Attire that she had on SmackDown. Yeah, that was my best dress.
Okay.
I wasn't a fan of Bianca's white attire this weekend.
No, I know a lot of people were.
I like the jacket, whatever it was, the boa jacket thingy. I didn't like it.
And the hat that she wore for 2 whole seconds.
Yeah, the hat that didn't make it past the. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm be honest with you. I'm not a fan of white attire most of the time.
Mm.
It doesn't really matter who it is. I think white's to me, if you wear white or black and that's the only colors you wear, you're basic. Find something. Like, I don't need you to go full cosplay, but like, be creative.
I do like when Seth Rollins wears white.
Yeah.
He's like a Power Ranger almost.
Yeah, but he has like design on his.
Like white, a little bit of gold, the gold outline.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's your best promo of the week? I think there's one answer, one answer only, but we'll see.
When Cody told The Rock to go fuck himself,
bro. Okay. I forgot about that one. That one was crazy.
He just dropped the F bomb out of nowhere.
Because that's what I thought was the big swerve. Was that Cody Rhodes fucking just cussed on TV? But
Rock. Go fuck yourself. I was like, oh shit. Crap. Who has some good promos this week? Gunther has a solid promo against Otis. Who am I missing?
My answer is
Cena. Oh, yes. I was like, I know Bianca talked to Kathy Kelly backstage or whatever.
Yeah.
No, not Kathy, it was Jackie.
Yeah, it was Jackie. CM Punk to start Raw last night.
Yeah, that was epic.
This is a man that he doesn't even need a gimmick. He's been a grumpy old man for like 12 years. Mm. And he's the only person who could. And so I saw someone compare it because he sort of found the camera was like staring right down it. And people sort of said, like, compared it to MJF before. I forgot what feud. It may have even been Punk's feud in AEW with him.
Mm.
Where MJF was staring down. So I'm like, now imagine only one of these one of these promos is going to lead to something that makes money. Which is
MJF always stares down the camera.
Yeah.
I like it feels intimate when I watch him talk. But yeah. CM Punk killed that promo.
And he got the fans involved because it was, and he was able to sort of go off the top, like, give me names.
Yeah. Who did we talk about first? Yeah. He answered Pat. Pat was like,
Pat really wanted him to talk about the final boss.
And then he also, a lot of people were giving CM Punk a little bit of flack though, because he was talking about The Rock's made up title. And then, like, all AEW fans were like, but you hold a fake title for like 6 months when you're in AEW.
Okay, here's the thing though, just because AEW doesn't recognize to this day, CM Punk is technically your world champion. Just because you interim it and then fire the motherfucker doesn't mean that he's not the world. CM Punk is your world champion. He never lost the belt.
People were trying to say that it wasn't even an interim belt, that he vacated it or something. And then when he came back, he laid claim to the title. And I was like, yeah, you got a disputed champion.
Right, because he never lost. And they didn't even strip him. They just they made a whole new belt and just forgot about CM Punk. And so it's not even that. I don't even think he vacated it. It was more so that they just created a new belt and then probably just tried to ride out. I don't really remember at the time, but he came back, and he has a point. He was champion. He never lost it. If they wanted to make money, they would do champion versus champion, but they didn't do it. They didn't do it. So CM Punk didn't hold a fake belt. He had a real AEW championship, and he had legitimate claim to be the champion. It's so much different than The Rock carrying a belt that's not even a sanctioned title that his mom made for him. Yeah. Even like the whole name of like the people, and I think more so he was just getting at like the nickname People's Champion, which isn't a real thing, which I think is what he was more so getting at. But a lot of these people are just CM Punk haters. Because, you know, Tony fumbled. He didn't just fumble on Ricky or Cody. He fumbled on CM Punk first. I don't understand how you let this guy walk out of your company. I just don't get it. What's your best match of the week?
It was Kevin and Sammy.
Yeah, that was my answer as well. All right. I can't wait to for
before we move on. Okay. I don't know if you saw, but we're getting Chelsea Green versus Meechan again in a street fight. Another street fight.
On Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're also getting Ray and Dragon Lee versus the New Day in a Tornado tag team match.
I saw that one, yeah. That's going to be pretty good. Underwhelming performance of the week.
Underwhelming performance was the women's tag match at Elimination Chamber. Yeah. Another underwhelming performance. The SmackDown tag division, I know they're trying to hype it up with all these.
Bro, that brawl made no sense.
But, like,
that brawl made no match. Sense. My point, my whole issue with that is you did a brawl, but not even that. It's typically when you do a brawl, though, someone's supposed to look on top, and it just no one benefited from that whole segment. You were just beating the shit out of people, and so I don't know. Like, there's no direction as to where that's going, and so it's just five teams that are to the point where like I updated my Mania card. I just have all five against each other because I don't know who's gonna fucking be in the match at Mania. So we're gonna get to the nitty gritty here because I couldn't really think of an underwhelming performance to me. So I went and as much as I love referee Jessica Carr, she's my underwhelming performer because that was a fucking blatant disqualification last night. I don't give two fucks about all of this.
We talked about this in the Discord. Okay, referee discretion.
Now, there's rules. There are rules.
Okay, well, guess what? If you go back to WrestleMania 40, we had Cody and Seth versus Roman and The Rock. These guys went to the crowd and fought. They went up one aisle. They went behind the crowd. They came down, and they came, like, down the entrance. They're wrestling in the crowd for, like, 5 minutes. You get no 10 count. They showed leniency, referee discretion.
And that's some bullshit as well. If there's rules. But I would also say that. So James's argument of it's a title match, you have to be a little bit lenient, is some bullshit. You would, in most situations, you would want more fairness in title matches. I just think when it's blatant, when it's like there's a difference between being lenient on your 10 count and someone blatantly getting involved in the match that's not supposed to be there right in your face where you could call the match. Now you're just making your referee look stupid.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time WWE has talked about referee leniency in their matches. Like they always talk about how, you know, here's a referee, Charles Robinson. Show up being a little lenient, whatever. Like say when, say Gunther, whoever has a match, and they're on the outside, or like you know they throw them into the ring steps or whatever, or like when they're outside for longer than a 10 count, Like they mentioned it on commentary before. It's not like the first time they right. mentioned
again,
it.
But again, a 10 count is different than like a DQ. Like if I'm not scheduled to be in that match, just because the referee wants to be lenient, I can just come interfere. Especially when the whole reason this match was created was because Rhea got involved in the qualifying match and caused the DQ. And so you're going to call a DQ in one match, but not call it in another. I don't necessarily think that it makes the referee or the product look.
Well, also calling it in that first match is what got us in this cloud situation in the first place. And also, if I'm not mistaken, Rhea Ripley is the kind of the one who escalated stuff. Bianca was chilling there. Rhea is the one who kind of made the first contact.
That doesn't change the fact that the rules were broken.
Bianca didn't really strike her. She just pushed her back.
But the rules are you can't lay hands on an opponent in the match.
And also, referee leniency is what got Liv and Raquel the titles last week anyways. This man, Dom, got involved in the match like 3-4 times, should have been ejected. He got kicked in the head, laid in the ring for like 15 seconds.
And it's a little bit different because he was never spotted. That's part of, again, right?
He was spotted. That's how Raquel got the that's how Raquel bounced her head off the pole. It was because the referee was tagging the Dom for like 20 seconds.
When it's blatant, like Dom doesn't get caught a lot of times, but when it's right in your face, like you make the referee look dumb, you look the product look stupid.
Now, in that same match, though, Dom also put Liv's foot on the rope right for the referee's face because the referee was in the wrong spot.
Did the referee see it?
Yeah, the referee's making the count right here, right? So say the count is going right here, right? The referee, instead of say the ropes are right here, right, and the pin was going on like I don't know over here. Instead of the referee being like kind of up here, like and like looking at it with the ropes outside of his vision, he was like turned, so he was looking at the count, like the shoulders and the ropes, and Dom was like this, right in front of him, like right in his line of vision, but the referee had to act dumb like he didn't see it.
And so the argument is going to be used, and what you're using is, well, WWE's done it before. And I'll just keep the same argument. It's stupid. It makes the product look dumb.
My argument is that they show leniency in all the matches. The Dom one was just because the referee was kind of in the wrong spot. But my main argument is that it's not the first time that they mentioned showing leniency or have done it by being lenient.
I don't know. And
also, Rhea pushed her first. All Bianca did was push her back. Bianca didn't like incapacitate her or like spear her or punch her in the face. All she did was shove her back.
I guess my argument was if there's going to be my problem is now is I don't want to see another match end in DQ when someone touches someone else, because now you're doing, unless you're going to make it an emphasis that each referee has a different referee style. The problem is that's never been addressed on TV as like a certainty in the WWE universe.
You also make an argument that the referee wasn't going to allow Rhea to get herself disqualified by instigating the disqualification. It taking the easy way out the match.
I don't know. I have bigger issues with the match than the actual referee, but
yeah, your issues with the finish. All right?
It is the finish, and we'll talk about it Friday because I'm about to spaz on this motherfucker because this match,
the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time.
Yeah. You guys and your hard on fucking Japanese wrestlers are ruining what could have been the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
James said it best. You're a big fan of Julian Stephanie. When it comes to EO, it's fuck EO.
Because
they all wrestle the same.
Because here's the problem. If Julia gets in the ring with Rhea Ripley, who has been booked as unstoppable for the last 2 years, then yes, Julia shouldn't just easily beat Rhea Ripley.
It wasn't easy, but also he was undefeated against Rhea Ripley historically, and they brought that up in the storytelling. Rhea's thing going into the match.
She's beaten Rhea in NXT. Like, it's not like they've met.
The main roster.
But was it this version of Rhea Ripley? Is it like Super Saiyan Rhea Ripley that's 96 in WWE 2K?
Rhea actually got mad because in their WWE upload like a promo highlight for the match earlier this week. It was like an 8-minute promo talking about their feud going back to like February of last year and how Rhea hasn't been able to defeat Io Sky in one-on-one competition. But Rhea was upset because the promo left out all of their work before that, like at NXT and on the indies and everything. So the deeper story is that Rhea hasn't beaten Io ever, not just lately, beaten Rhea ever.
So this brings into what I'm going to talk about on Friday more. My issue really isn't even the finish. The finish is a problem to me. Because Triple H be doing too much. There's no reason. First off, we've had two women's champions. That title was switched hands twice in 60 days. I have an issue with that. I know a lot of casual fans don't, but I do have an issue with that. But the bigger thing is you're less than 50 days away from WrestleMania and you're switching your marquee match in the women's division. I have big issues with that. And maybe I'm the only one. But we'll end this kind of part of the conversation with who's your MVP of the week?
Io Sky.
Fuck that shit.
What? She won a championship. Did John Cena win a championship? John Cena won a number one contendership. Sky won the championship.
The only answer to this is Liv Morgan.
Okay, Liv Morgan won a tag team championship.
And then went to Elimination Chamber and got the shit beat out of her. Exactly. And it's still standing today.
Okay. I'm just saying, she won a championship, but Io won a championship that's higher up the totem pole.
Liv Morgan's the MVP. There's no other answer to this question.
Huh.
What the fuck has Io done? She participated in one match. Liv Morgan's
won the championship.
Liv Morgan's been on like three shows in the last week.
Congratulations. She didn't win the World Heavyweight Championship.
All right.
Io Sky won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and she solidified a spot at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Has she?
Because you know Triple H likes to pull bullshit out of his fucking magical bag of tricks. So who knows? We might get a rematch in 2 weeks.
Well, no, because it was booked, if you remember Elimination Chamber. The Elimination Chamber was booked as the winner of this match will face the winner of Rhea Ripley or Io Sky at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but Triple H likes to pull bullshit out of his little bag of tricks. So
Io got championship. She booked a ticket to WrestleMania. The worst that could happen is that match gets turned into a triple threat, which I think it will.
We'll see. Let's move on to these questions from the Discord. We got some good ones. Let's start here with, you are sentenced to death at the Uso Penitentiary. What is your last meal? Essentially, you're on death row. They tell you, you can order anything for your last meal. What's it going to be? I think we've done a version of this question before, but we'll do it again.
Oh, let's see. My last meal at the Uso Penitentiary. Give me like three Baconators. Okay. Give me like three Baconators with a large high C for McDonald's. Now like two large high C's for McDonald's. Some Arby's curly fries. And for dessert, get me a strawberry New York cheesecake. What's it called? Blizzard. From Dairy Queen.
Okay. So this man went reasonably what I would call cheap. Because cool. I'm sitting here thinking I could eat anything and I don't have to pay for it. The taxpayers are going to have to pay for this shit. I'm going all out on this. We're going fancy on this shit. So I'm going to need y'all to get me a tomahawk steak. I want the biggest motherfucking steak you could find. Bone straight down the middle, tomahawk, bitch. Cook this thing medium rare. I don't care. Find the fanciest chef to cook this thing. Mm-hmm. And I want the freshest Maine lobster you can pull out of the damn ocean. Mm-hmm. And I want that bitch cooked for me. I want some, like, I want some baked mac and cheese. I don't want none of that Kraft bullshit. Mm. I want it baked. I don't care what the fuck cheese you use. I just want some baked mac and cheese. We're going to get a little bit less fancy here. I want a tall glass of chocolate milk.
Oh. He wants all the chocolate milk with a steak.
I want a second glass of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. I don't know if y'all Northerners know anything about this beautiful gas station that Texas gave us, known as Buc-ee's. I want a Texas cheesesteak burrito from Buc-ee's, because this motherfucking shit is the greatest thing. It's an orgasm in your mouth. And then we're gonna get super ghetto here for dessert, but I want Food Lion's banana pudding. Because that shit is fucking delicious.
Yeah, you know, it slaps. I had that orange cream Coca-Cola.
Oh, is that good? I've seen it. I haven't tried it yet.
I found me one.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet because I was afraid it's going to be ass. And I didn't want to waste my money on it.
Yeah, get it cold.
Ooh. Get it cold? Okay. Second question. So what do you think is the end goal of putting the belt on EO?
You know what I'm saying? You know, the Asian market is such a huge market that, you know, if you want, you know, viewership, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you gotta dip into the Asian market. Also, EO, she's a proven, reliable champion, okay? She could work well with 95% of the roster, okay? Her English low-key isn't that bad. Also, it adds a little bit more mystery and, like, unpredictability going into WrestleMania. I low-key think there's a chance that Rhea will challenge Bianca for her contendership.
Look, I'm telling you right now.
And I think Jade costs her the match.
I'm telling you right now.
Bianca versus Jade.
Telling you right now. I was going to type this in the Discord, but I was afraid y'all would think I was fucking insane. I'm telling you right now, if that fucking happens, I will stop watching Raw and SmackDown. I would only watch NXT. I'm not fucking playing. Triple H, if you piss me off and take away Bianca in this match, I'm done. I'm just saying.
You know, imagine if Rhea challenges Bianca for her contendership, and then, like, Jade gets involved in the match, costs Bianca the match, Bianca loses out on her contendership, and there you go. There's a bigger feud for Bianca and Jade.
Nah.
You know, short term, you know what I'm saying? Short term. Yeah, look at the short term.
So what's the end goal of putting the belt on EO? Simply to piss me the fuck off. But if we put the jokes aside, it's to make it to where Rhea or Bianca don't have to eat a pin at WrestleMania. It's going to be a triple threat, and Io's going to be the one that gets pinned. They don't want to make Bianca look weak for eating the pin. They don't want Rhea to look weak eating a pin. And so you put in Io Sky, who will just be in the same situation next year because Triple H has a hard on for Japanese wrestlers for whatever reason.
And then you revisit Bianca versus Rhea at SummerSlam.
Nah, I have a different way to book it, but we'll move to the next question. This is still from Witters. Realistically, I don't think we'll see two triple threat matches at Mania. Who gets cut? Is it Seth Roman and Punk or Rhea, Io, and Bianca?
I think there's a chance now AJ Styles is calling out Logan Paul next week on Raw. I was going to say you run CM Punk versus Logan Paul, but I don't know. I think you might have to settle unless – I don't know. It's looking like you can get two triple threats. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah. So realistically, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're good. Unless somehow the Samoans, I don't know, somehow you get like Jacob versus Roman or something.
So, yeah. So Roman's the one that's sort of like the. So we're definitely getting a women's triple threat. Roman's the. I'll have a clearer answer after next Monday. If Roman, because I think Roman gets involved in the cage match. And if it does, it'll be a triple threat. But I do realistically think that we get both, because Triple H loves to use triple threats as a way to remove rules to get surprise returns. Mm. And my surprise return I think we get at Mania is Asuka. And I think Asuka is going to attack Io. That's my prediction right now. And then ultimately, I think the goal is Bianca. So this is how I book it. Bianca wins the title. Bianca and Jade at SummerSlam, where Jade wins the title. I think we're going to do this build with Rhea over the next year that they do with every babyface, where we have to burn them to the ground and then build them back up with the same template we did for Cody and Jay and now Tiffany and now Rhea. And I think the end goal will be Jade versus Rhea at Mania next year for the title.
I think we keep Roman, CM Punk, and Rollins in a triple threat match.
Yeah.
I think it's the women's who kind of don't get the triple threat. I think it's I think what's going to happen is Rhea challenges Bianca for her contendership. Mm-hmm. Jade crashes the match.
So what you're saying is going to happen is that I'm going to fucking stop watching Raw. I'm a cancel Netflix. I'm gonna stop watching SmackDown. I was gonna stop watching SmackDown anyway because that shit's not watchable. But
then you get your Jade versus Bianca sooner rather than later.
But here's the thing: I'm patient. I don't need it at WrestleMania because it's not a WrestleMania match. It's a SummerSlam match, and I want it at SummerSlam so Jade can win the title.
Well, also it makes the pieces easier to fall into place if the women lose the triple threat and the men have their triple threat.
I think we get both of them. I think he had a second part to that question, like who gets cut and what would they do. I don't think we get anything cut. We kind of already sort of discussed it. The only thing I could see getting cut would be if what you said happened, but if the men were to lose the triple threat, it's either Roman or Punk, but I don't really know what you would have to do with them.
I also think the more likely triple threat is CM Punk gets added to Cody versus Cena.
To Cody and Cena? Yeah, I could see that happening. Out of the three WWE heavyweight champions, so that's Oba, Femi, Cody Rhodes, and Gunther, if they all had a match at War Games, who would come out on top? I'm assuming B-Master was asking, not that they had a War Games match, but if they had like we did with
Raw
SmackDown NXT, if they had a match at Survivor Series War Games, who would win?
I feel like Raw and Gunther would win. Or Raw and Jay. I guess it might be Jay at that point, but we'll say Gunther for the time being.
Right.
I think that their team would be able to last together longer as far as being on the same page.
So I don't think it's a War Games match. I think it's just the three of them. It's a triple threat.
Oh no, because you asked him, are we picking teams for? Sorry, he said just the three of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just a triple threat.
Oh, so if it's Gunther, Cody, Oba, I think Cody wins.
Oh, no. No way.
So what happens is that here's what's going to happen, okay? So Gunther is going to somehow get Oba Femi into that sleeper hold, right?
Okay.
He's going to get into that sleeper hold. Oba Femi is going to like low-key kind of be on the verge of passing out. And as he's on the verge of passing out, Cody's going to come from behind, put Gunther to a crossroads. And, Oba Femi's going to roll out the ring because he almost passed out. Cody's going to hit the crossroads, and Cody wins the match.
So if we're doing this realistically, the strongest character of the three is Obafemi in terms of how well they've been booked, how strong they are. Obafemi's damn near unbeatable. And I also think because there aren't championships involved here, there's no reason to have Obafemi take a pin here. Cody can overcome a pin. Gunther can and has overcome pins before. I think Obafemi wins.
It's also who's booking.
Yeah, it also depends on like what we do here.
If it's a real life fight, Obafemi's winning. If Triple H is booking, Gunther is winning. If TKO is booking, Cody Rhodes.
Realistically, if this was like real life, first off, I don't think Obafemi stays champion until November. I don't think any of these three are champions in November. So realistically, it'd probably be like Jay, Javon Evans, and like Drew McIntyre or something.
That's what I was saying. If we gave them teams and they did like elimination match, that's why I think Gunther's team will win.
I think a triple threat war games match would be interesting.
Well, I'm thinking more of just a traditional elimination. Just
the traditional
Survivor Series one,
yeah.
Because Gunther's team, they would stay together on the same page. Because if you look at Raw, his team would be a team of like say Gunther, Seth Rollins.
If Gunther's picking teams, I'd imagine he'd have Kaiser on it.
Do you think he picks, or do you think they get almost like qualifying matches?
You think? True. They do like qualify. It'll probably be qualifiers,
or maybe a mixture of the two, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm thinking you get like Gunther, Seth Rollins,
Punk.
While I think of Raw, you think of NXT. So I think you
get five, Gunther, right?
Yeah, five. Yep. So Gunther, Rollins. I don't think CM Punk gets involved in it. We'll say Penta. Gunther, Rollins, Penta. Jay. Gunther, Rollins, Penta, Jay. AJ Styles.
Yeah, so it'd be Oba, Trick are guarantees to be in. Probably like a Javon Evans and Ethan Page and I was thinking, is it going to be D'Angelo? Would they put Ricky Saints in it, or would they put
Wesley?
Wesley could put Ridge Holland. Sean Spears could even do something with, but D'Angelo would probably be the, because if you were doing that where like NXT gets like some representation, you would put the big guys up there that have name recognition. So yeah, it'd be Oba, Trick, Ethan Page, Javon Evans, and Tony D'Angelo.
The problem is like all four of those guys hate each other.
Right. And then that could even play into the story. And that's what I was thinking. Like Eddie Thorpe as well could be on there because everyone fucking hates Eddie Thorpe. So
SmackDown got a squad though, but I don't think that they'll be on the same page. You got Cody,
Jacob.
Cody, Jacob, Damian, Drew.
And probably LA Knight.
Oh yeah, LA Knight.
Or The Miz.
The Miz always sneaks his way into his freaking
five-man
teams, and he's like the unofficial captain.
Right.
I think Raw will do the best job at not tearing themselves apart from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. If we were doing teams, Raw would win. Just because the other two teams would just turn on each other.
Exactly. So, there you go, Triple H. We booked that for you. You're welcome.
Next question. Will John Cena and Travis Scott create Cena's new song?
I hope so.
I'm assuming that's the plan. If not, Travis Scott makes very little sense being a part of this. But
what's the vibe of Cena's new song? What's going to be the vibe of it? Is it like slow, methodical? Is it like dark?
I know a lot of people want like bad, bad man, like the rap. So I think it's going to be slow, sort of like the Rock's music.
You think maybe like a You Can't See Me remix? Or sorry, but My Time Is Now remix?
Possibly. I mean, they have the one they made in 2012. That's okay. Here's the thing. please do Travis Scott as the producer, because if Def Rebel gets on this shit, if John Cena's heel turn gets Def Rebeled, it's people gonna be pissed off. Kara comes in with, I admit deep down it's sad to see Cena turn heel, but it's great storytelling and it's going to get good. What is your message to the IWC or someone like Dave LaGreca starting up the Cody Crybabies Part 2?
Was LaGreca really doing a Cody Crybaby 2? I know he was all into like screw you, John Cena.
Yes, for that promo. So I don't know if that's so. I don't know if that's like Cody Crybaby's Part 2. So okay, so that you just said my answer. Dave LaGreca is playing a gimmick. So I'm going to take you guys behind the scenes of podcasting. I know Dirty D does it a little bit. I do it a little bit. You have to play a little bit of a gimmick when you're on the podcast, when you're podcasting, because that, let's just be honest. If everyone gave their thoughts in the world of wrestling, every wrestling podcast would sound the same. And you need to sort of stand out. I think Dave LaGreca is 100% playing a gimmick. I think he understands what's going on and that he's a little bit more emotional than Bully Ray. And they have to stand up. Where Bully Ray's more of the heelish character, Dave LaGreca's got to be the super mark to get that show to sell. And so I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think he's just doing his job. It also gives WWE content to sort of air when they do these fan reactions to things.
Yeah, not reveal could be Santee and Weezy,
right? Or in the clutch, my dude Dub made it on there on Monday. Yep. But yeah. So I don't necessarily think Dave LaGreca's actually pissed off at John Cena. I think he's just playing a gimmick. And so I think obviously it works because they're a top five listened to podcast every single week. Mm. So yeah, that's where I stand on that one.
I didn't get a chance to listen to June Cornette yet. I was gonna watch it before coming down here, but the video was too long, so I had to watch a shorter video.
Even these clips now are starting to get like 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, his breakdown of the John Cena heel turn was 22 minutes. I had like 15.
There's a reason I don't listen to your videos, Jim. Like the whole 4-hour podcast, because it's just too long. But B-Master comes in with a very complicated...
Wait. Kara had one more question.
She did. I must have missed it. What was it?
Will we get Punk AJ versus Becky Seth? If we don't get it by SummerSlam, we're not getting it.
So my initial answer when I read the question was no. Then I came back and was feeling a little bit petty. So my official answer that I wrote down was no. Well, probably not. Well, who fucking knows with Triple H? He might revive Mae Young and put her in a fucking match.
He did mention Becky on Raw this past week.
And I don't know if you saw the tweet. It's deleted now, but Becky did sort of allude to CM Punk might be cheating, which I don't know why she deleted it. Stand on business, bitch.
Yeah.
Like
Roxanne Perez, they had mentioned.
You're not the only one who has thought that before. Like, I know a lot of people in the IWC who see you in hanging out at NXT with all the young girls and think something's going on down there.
We need AJ versus Roxanne Perez, and we need Punk and AJ versus Becky and Seth.
Yeah, if we're not getting it before SummerSlam, I don't know if it happens. I know
that strikes me as like a SummerSlam match.
Yeah,
big show, but not huge stakes.
Right. And it's also one of those matches where like Punk and Rollins could carry it. So AJ doesn't have to do a lot.
Yeah.
And Becky doesn't have to do a lot. So I think everyone wants it to happen. I think it all depends on if AJ actually wants to get back in the ring. Cause I think they'd all sign off on it. Does AJ actually want to, it's not that she has to train. She's in fucking fantastic shape.
Yeah, and her and Punk they casually train the ring like all the time together.
Yeah, so it's just does she want to do this and show up? And I don't see a reason why she wouldn't. I'll tell you something. It's 2025. Cena turned heel. Fucking Ricky Saints showed up. 2025 is going to be the craziest year in a while. Because Phoenix going to show up. Let's talk about that, because we never talked about Gable's magical box she got in the alley.
Yeah.
What do you think is inside of it?
I couldn't make out the guy's face, though. I know they're only showing like very close ups. Yeah. I couldn't make out what the hell he looked like. But
I know he had he had like a little mustache that like curled up, but that's all I can see. I'm gonna tell you, I think it's going to be. I think he turns in. It's probably a mask or something.
Yeah, but I think it's a Shorty G Lucha mask.
Yeah. But what I do think is going to happen is, I think Gable. I changed Gable's Mania match. I think we're going to get a 6-man match. It's going to be Gable, Penta, and Phoenix versus the LWO.
You think it was going to turn face?
Yeah. Because I think he's going to turn on the Creeds, because they didn't do what he told them to do.
Well, if he's turning, but he's going to be turning face. I do think Gable's involved in a 6-man match at Mania, but I think it's Gable and the New Day versus Penta, Ray, and Dragon Lee.
See, the issue with, and I'd be fine with it if I know Phoenix isn't going to show up. Phoenix will be here probably next week.
Oh, you think it'd be that fast?
Yeah. I 100% think they will have Phoenix on Raw. MSG, why the fuck would you not have him there?
Well, I mean, that's if his like contract is clear at that point.
He's done. He's off the page. He's done. He can sign today.
Low key, I think you hold up on Phoenix until Raw after Mania.
I can see that too. I think if you can't beat Penta, join them. I don't know. I just, part of me feels like,
you know, unless you want to drop Dragon Lee for Penta, I mean for Phoenix.
But I also, I don't think if you do Gable, Penta, and Phoenix, I don't necessarily think that Gable would have to turn face, because LWO is going to be the faces. And so I think,
yeah, but so you're going to turn Penta, Phoenix heel?
Yeah.
Penta's over with the crowd right now. He's one of the most over guys on the roster. Merch and all that.
I mean, Dom sells merch and he gets hated.
I think you hold off on Phoenix, unless you want to bring in Phoenix and you could put Dragon Lee on the bench and you do Penta, Phoenix, and Ray versus Gable in the New Day.
We'll see. I don't know. No one knows for certain, but that's just sort of where I'm getting from this. Let's see. We got one more question here from B Master.
Loki, if you want to take down the Luchas, just get maybe it was like a phone, like a card. It says call ice or something like that. Or a hat with ice on it.
Bro, is JBL booking this group? last question here from B Master. If you were to start a new wrestling company, who would you hire to run your show? Who would you hire to write your stories? Who would you hire to train them? Or would you rather hire people that already have experience instead of training people who have no idea what to do? Your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I'm going to hire people who already have experience. I'm not training these wrestlers. I'm not training them. Let's see. Also, I'm breaking my stuff down in tiers. Like, I'm not having one person write the whole show.
Right.
I'm gonna have one person and his team write the main event scene.
Okay.
For the men, I'm gonna have another group of people write the main event scene for the women, and then I'm gonna have two teams write the mid and the undercard for the rest of it. So my main event scene for the men is going to be written by Paul Heyman and Michael Hayes.
Okay.
And for my women, it's going to be written by, I don't know if he does story writing or just like match, like, match production, but I'm putting what's his name? Natalia's boyfriend, her husband, Tyson Kidd.
Yeah,
so Tyson Kidd is going to be in charge of my women's wrestling matches.
Jason Jordan?
Jason Jordan. That man's going to be, he's going to be a travel agent. Okay, he's going to be a travel agent. But yeah, head writer Paul Heyman, Michael Hayes, match producers is going to be headed by Ty. I keep on saying like Ty Wilson. I think I'm mixing his names together.
Yeah,
Tyson Kidd and like TJ Wilson is what.
Yeah, TJ Wilson is his real name. Yeah.
Yeah, TJ Wilson / Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be the head of the match choreography.
Okay.
Michael Cole's he's going to be the head of my commentary team, and okay. he's going to train my commentary team, you know, to take over when he exits. And then I'm going to offer Michael Cole a writing position.
Okay.
So, you know, he can do it like remotely. He doesn't have to be on the road all the time. Take your well-due break. But, you know, he's Michael Cole is going to be a guy who wants to keep a finger in the wrestling world. Keep a toe in the water. My trainers is going to be the NXT crew. Okay. We're having A-Train. Okay. Okay. A-Train is doing the training. I'm bringing Natalia and Tamina are going to be my trainers for the women. My men's trainers. Well, the person who oversees it is A-Train. Okay. A-Train is the head trainer. The women's trainers are Natalia and Tamina. And then the men's trainers is going to be like AJ Styles when he retires.
Okay.
And Billy Gunn. You're bringing Billy Gunn.
Okay.
And also my writing team is Shawn Michaels. He's going to be like my booker. So I'm going to be the booker. He's going to be my co-booker. He's going to be my circle.
Okay. All right. So first off, this is a question that I probably think about once a week. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Because let me tell you right now, if I would have hit this lottery last night and won $200 million, you damn straight I'm starting a wrestling promotion. I'm Tony Khan in this bitch. Mm. But I'm going to learn from Tony Khan's mistake, because that's what I'm assuming, that if money's not an issue, I can do whatever the fuck I want. And I'm going to immediately get in contact with whoever the fuck I need to get in contact with at WWE and saying, I want to be your developmental. And so, you know, he mentioned the idea of like, would you train wrestlers instead of training wrestlers? I would start straight from scratch. I want to be like the bottom league, like know my role. I want to be part of your WWE ID. Give me that type of money, that funding to do that. Let me train your next generation of wrestlers. With the entire purpose of sending them to NXT, sort of like a minor league system. I'll pay them. I'll train them. You supply trainers and for me, whether it's Booker T's training school or you know, WWE ID has like five different training schools that they signed with, and I'll run a promotion with them. That's not necessarily independent, because I would have it like be exclusive to, you can only work for me, but I'm going to pay you well. And I would hire for my writing team, of course it would be me. But this was an idea passed in the casual wrestling Discord. If we were to ever start a wrestling company, why would we hire people that have been in the business? Because a lot of these people only think one way. And so my commentary team would be Milwaukee Mike and DJ Wavy D. You guys would be my commentary team. I would have Dirty D doing my marketing. He could do the graphics. He could do the t-shirts. I mean, he already has like his own printing company, so he can do posters and all that shit for me. My booking team would be me, James, and Cody to keep the, you know, I can book for the casuals. I'm going to be like Vince, though. I get final say. Because James and Cody will book like 17 matches on a card and be like, we're going to AEW this bitch. And I'm going to be like, nah.
And you got Cody, who's your historian.
Right. And so my I would need some experienced indie stars, though, to put the belts on. You can't just put newly trained wrestlers.
I got you. Matt Taven.
Yeah. And if I were to hire someone that was maybe experienced in booking, I'd hire Al Snow. I'll be honest with you. He books OVW, and they put on pretty decent product for the little budget that they have.
Quick question. Do you think someone like a CD Richards, do you think he's good at producing a match, or do you think he's just good at analyzing it post-match?
I know he's good analyzing it. I think he'd be a good producer. I think Maven would probably be better at producing. Because I think Stevie still sort of looks at wrestling through a particular lens, which is why him and Russo are still friends.
I was like, Stevie kind of reminds me of like when like Bubba Ray kind of details stuff. Like Jim Cornette to a certain degree.
Yeah, they're trained to watch wrestling through a specific lens, where I think someone like Maven's a little bit more even keeled, like center. He understands what's popular now.
Yeah, he also came from wrestling as a fan. He was a teacher with The Rock on his wall, and then wrestled The Rock.
Right, which is crazy by itself. But yeah, I would 100% be like, yeah, let me just be a training center for you, WWE. I'll be your minor leagues. But I don't know if I could. Part of me feels like if I could Tony Khan this shit and immediately compete with WWE, why the fuck would I not? I'd hire Vince McMahon. I'll be completely honest with you. Get Vince McMahon in here to write some wrestling for me. And then the only criteria is Kevin Dunn staying the fuck away, because them fucking switching scenes every 2 seconds. Like, I'm glad we don't have that no more.
Who's like your first three wrestlers who are not under like big league contract that you're signing? So not WWE, not AEW, not TNA.
Okay. Shit. The problem is I don't know who's on the indie scene anymore.
I'm bringing in Velveteen Dream.
Dream, I like him. I would say Speedball, but he just signed with AEW, so can't use him no more.
I'm bringing Enzo Amore.
Enzo, I like Enzo. Okay. There's a dude out here who wrestles in the local promotion. His name, I don't like his wrestling name. We would have to change it. His wrestling name is Brad Attitude, which is straight from the 80s, and I fucking hate it. But I saw him in a match against Ziggler, and it was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. I would hire him. He's been wrestling for like 20 years. He just did a scaffold match like it was fucking old ECW.
we had a local indie guy similar to up here who just retired, I think 2 years ago maybe. Mm-hmm. He went into the it's called NEW, which is the Northeast Wrestling.
Yeah.
It's our indie company up here. And his name is Brian Anthony.
Okay.
And he's known as Mr. NEW or Mr. Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
He's like our equivalent of like a Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
You know, say if you get a chance, check him out. Brian Anthony, Northeast Wrestling.
Heard. I've seen some Northeast Wrestling stuff with Perrazzo and all of them. I've probably seen one of his matches. The name doesn't ring a bell, but I've probably seen one.
His color was lime green for his career. That was like his color.
Okay.
T-shirt,
so there's that. I hope that answers the question for you, B-Master.
Yeah.
And we'll end this show with the finals of Thirsty Tuesday, this bracket. It's a fatal four-way. The representative from TNA, surprisingly, I'm be completely honest with you, is Tessa Blanchard. The representative from NXT is Sol Ruka. The main roster representative is Liv Morgan. And the AEW representative, for whatever reason, this Discord just fucking hates Harley Cameron, apparently. Or has a fucking hard-on for Anna Jay. And it's all James's fault. I'm blaming him. But Anna Jay is that representative. Let me get this poster up here. I got to put a poll, too, so that we can actually vote.
Ew, why use that picture of Sol Ruka? He tried to taint her. He tried to taint her.
who's you?
This is crazy. This man tried to rig the vote. You ain't slick.
Nah, because I'm voting for Sol. I just like that picture.
These four women and these four photos, I'm taking Liv Morgan.
Hmm. That's probably who's going to win. Oh, let me get this poll up here.
Let's see. Liv Morgan.
All right. So we're ended like we always do. Wavy D gets the final words. What we got going on?
Yo, so you know, Wavy D trying to find some love, you feel me? So I got this work bay, you feel me? Okay. Potential work bay. You know what I'm saying? I told her, I was like, you know, I got two jobs. You know, I work at a deli after our main job. You know, because she works at my main job with me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then so, you know, I work at, you know, a deli in the evening time or whatever. I was like, you know, I work tonight, you know, like 4 to 8. I was like, you should pull up, you know, so I made the best sandwiches in the city, you know what I'm saying? And then so I was working, whatever. It was maybe like a half hour before close. Homegirl, she showed up. She showed up and got sales for her mom's. And, you know what I'm saying? And I was I made a good sandwich for, you know, say a good grinder, you know, I had to impress her mom's. Because mom's also works at the job with us. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully I impressed him. You know what I'm saying? She was laughing at my jokes, giggling a little bit. So I'm going to see her tomorrow at work. Be like, yo, how's that sandwich for you? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
See if it hit the spot.
I remember those days when I worked restaurants and had a work wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was a manager, so I could just count food for her. So.
Well, this girl, she's from my other, so she's from like my job in the schools.
Right.
And so she came to visit me while I was at my food job.
When you're at the food job, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel you. So things looking up for the wavy D over there.
And she's Puerto Rican.
Oh shit. That's all you got to say.
Yeah,
that's all you got to say.
We're winning.
He's winning over there. But with that, thank y'all for watching. I know it's a little bit long, but you know, it's been a busy week in wrestling. Tune in to James and Cody's Beyond the Junkyard podcast on Thursday as they're predicting Revolution, which Wavy D's going to be in them comments. He's got to get his pay-per-view predictions in.
Yeah, I got to figure out who's even wrestling.
I don't even remember the card. I know Hangman and
MJF.
MJF are fighting. It's actually, from what I heard, a really good card. But other than that, y'all have a great rest of your day. I will see you guys Friday with another rant-laced video. Until then, y'all, we will see you on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.